Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Take the Points College Football Podcast, week two of the 2017 season. If you hear that sound in the background, that's rolling thunder in eastern Connecticut. That is the gods sending their well wishes to UConn for their amazing comeback over Holy Cross. We did it, Dan.
Yeah, you did. It's all you.
My name is Tom Zeleznak. I am here in Connecticut recording on a Tuesday night. I'm here with my co-hosts, Dan Partridge, the Vegas Outsider, and Ryan Spillett, the coach. Guys, here's what we're going to do. This is a great week of games, and so we've got a pretty straightforward show tonight. We will recap week one. We will talk about the lines in week two, USC Stanford, Georgia Notre Dame, Ohio State, Oklahoma, and a bunch of other games. And then at the end, we will get to the greatest teams of our lifetime bracket, which we have officially put together a few hours ago. I think everybody's going to like this a lot. Let's start with the week one recap. Alabama, Florida State was the big game of the weekend, but now it feels like it happened about 2.5, 3 weeks ago, even though it's been 3 days.
And if that Alabama, Florida State game was 2.5 months ago, then that Oklahoma State, Tulsa game was like 3 months ago, roughly.
So what jumps out from the entire 5 day span of college football?
Well, there were a lot of things. First, right off the bat, Oklahoma State. They were great on Thursday night. Offense looked great as expected. Over rolled in fast. They're going to be our hot over team, especially earlier in the year. I really don't care how much we see these numbers move to going forward. They can be 82 for all I care. We're going over with Oklahoma State.
Stay tuned. Stay tuned for later in the show.
Of course. And then, you know, Alabama once again wins a huge game early in the year against a highly ranked team. Early, Florida State played well. There was that missed maybe pass interference call, whatever. But then Alabama pulled away in the second half with turnovers and defense and running the ball. And shame for Florida State to lose Francois. But Alabama looks like they're pretty much going to run the table here. They're for sure going to be undefeated halfway through the year at minimum. So, yeah, hats off to them. They look great. Their offense can only improve. The defense is, again, A-plus, as usual.
Are you concerned about them losing their two linebackers in that game for the season? Christian Miller and Terrell Lewis out for the year.
No. I feel like there's got to be two other guys who are nearly identical to them on that team. No insult to them. I never want to see anyone get hurt for the year. It's just, at this point, Alabama's never had an issue with, like, you know, a next man up, you know, problem like that. So, Alabama's going to be fine. We'll see them in the playoff. But then you got A&M with the epic collapse. A&M isn't good. They haven't been good in a couple of years. Their coach is overrated. We talk about this all the time on Take the Points.
Dan, this is shocking for me to hear this. You were the biggest Kevin Sumlin fan on earth a few years ago.
Yes, I was 4 years ago because he was a new coach in the SEC, and I was like, wow, he's facing Les Miles and Nick Saban and all these amazing coaches, Spurrier, you know, even Mark Richt. And now all those coaches aren't there, and he's even worse. And it's not a problem with, like, incoming, you know, recruiting and talent. I mean, he's put, you know, Myles Garrett and Von Miller, and, you know, he's had number one, you know, quarterback recruits come in. So there's something going on there with the culture or something that obviously we aren't informed of.
Well, nobody seems to want to stay. That's the problem. Yeah, we don't know why.
There is something messed up there, but hats off to UCLA for a great comeback. That game reminded me a lot of the Oregon-TCU game. It was like, the Alamo Bowl a couple years ago? That was when the Oregon quarterback got hurt, and then they couldn't move the ball. It was the same thing in this game. College is so crazy with, like, you know, the ball, with the clock stopping after a first down where you can score so many points. But hats off to UCLA. Too bad for you, A&M. You're not a powerhouse. It's just the way it is. And again, last night we see Tennessee and Georgia Tech play standard Georgia Tech Tennessee football. You never have any idea who's going to show up on either team any given week, more
Any
than week
given
two.
half.
Thank you, Tom. That's where I was going with that. Like, you have no idea with these teams. I've never figured them out my whole life. I'm like, all right, Tennessee, you got Peyton Manning. You got Peyton Manning. You're going to win the national title. I know it. And then they don't. And you're like, well, I feel bad for Tennessee. They're never going to win a national title now. And then they win with T. Martin the next year just to really screw with your head. You know what I mean? So this has been going on a long time with them. But yeah, they're still not going to be a great team this year. But overall, fun weekend of college football. Love how they spread it out over the weekend. A-plus job by college football having games on TV Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. I mean, awesome. Great job.
Ryan, anything else that stood out that we haven't mentioned so far?
No, not really. I mean, I think there's some quarterbacks this year that can play. Some guys that are going to be some really exciting guys, and I think that's what I really took from this weekend is, you know, there were a few question marks out there, and I think a few of those really kind of impressed me. So I'm looking forward to kind of watching some of these guys as the year goes on.
So, a few things I wrote down that I'll mention that we haven't covered. Dan, you have a thing we used to call the Khalid El-Amin theory or theorem, or it may be a law at this point, but this is when college kids aren't always the most dedicated and sometimes have mental lapses. And Khalid El-Amin, who played at UConn before your time, during your time,
Yes, he was there for my freshman year after he won the national title as a, you know, whatever. Yes, 1 year. We overlapped.
so he was well known, infamous, I would say, for starting off hot or starting off very slow, rather. And then we are not sure what happened at halftime. Maybe he got in a different mental state, let's say, and he would come out and play great in the second half. And that's what I saw out of Tennessee and UCLA. I would say, although you could argue that A&M choked, and I definitely would say that. UCLA also looked great. Josh Rosen played probably the game of the weekend. I know that we don't talk about the Heisman until week 8 on the show, but he would have to be your front runner right now. And then, well, Dan's shaking his head. He's up
Oh
there.
yeah. No, I mean, you know, yes, Rosen was great, but there were a lot of mistakes still on that last drive. Like he like snapped the ball too early, and like, you know, there are a lot of like issues, but he is progressing. He has talent, but he's still gonna have a lot of ups and downs this year. I mean, a lot of rocky games. It's coming with him. One of these games, I'm not sure which one, it's gonna be like UCLA -7, and we're all gonna bet it and lose by like 30 points. I'm looking forward to it.
Oh,
But
that's guaranteed. I
hats
mean,
off to
as
him
we've
week one.
said, A&M is not great. So somebody is
No.
going to overrank UCLA in a game coming up very soon. And we'll talk about overreactions in just a minute. I also wanted to say congratulations for the Tennessee marching band playing the Game of Thrones theme song as they go into overtime and then coming away with a win.
It's pretty
Not
cool.
a coincidence, I would say.
No.
Also, another thing with Tennessee. I don't know if any of you saw Les Miles live tweeting the Tennessee Georgia Tech game, but Les Miles is bored and has a lot of time on his hands, and he's looking for a job, I think. So if you are, I don't know, UConn and you almost lost to Holy Cross, hey, maybe keep your Rolodex, keep a card for Les Miles. Maybe if you're Texas A&M and you don't think your coach will be around next year. Dan's probably got some other suggestions, it looks like.
Oh no, I just wanted one more thing to add to week one. Two huge upsets. Liberty winning at our former squad, the house that Art built at Baylor outright. And then, can somebody please tell us when Cam Newton's younger brother is starting against UNLV and getting 47 points? I don't need to know anything else. He can go out there with a fucking road cone for a tight end and, like, you know, I mean, I don't care. Just give me 47 UNLV and Cam Newton blood. I don't need to know anything else. Nothing. I would have bet the game blind, for sure. But of course they go, oh yeah, biggest upset ever. By the way, have you seen that's Cam Newton's brother? And they show a photo of him. I'm like, That was Cam Newton in that outfit, I'm pretty sure. He's like, fuck Carolina. But that was awesome. I'm sure good for them. UNLV is a joke. I don't know how they come up with 47 unless you're playing like a middle school team. That's not an exaggeration.
It was the
But
heat. It was supposed to be too hot for Howard, but apparently not.
I'm really serious though. This shit happens every year where like we find out about something after the fact, and that instantly made me irate. And as you can tell, I'm trying to get over it a week later, but
I
I'm still.
agree. These ESPN shows, I mean, they'll do 17-minute segments on is JT Barrett as good as last year? It's like, just spend 12 seconds and tell us that Cam Newton's brother plays for Howard so we can bet
Thank
that
you.
shit. I have some stats, Dan. I was saving this for later, but people know they were huge upsets, but we are a numbers show, so listen to this shit, man. Howard beat UNLV. They were 45-point dog. That is the biggest upset in college football history if you base it on the line. ESPN Stats does a percentage to win, as we all know. We've all seen the crazy graph. But at the beginning of the game, not during the game, Howard had a 1.2% chance to win that game. And that was the biggest upset in 10 years, according to the ESPN graph. Liberty had a 2.2% chance to beat Baylor, and that was the second biggest upset in 10 years, according to the ESPN stats. So imagine being Liberty, you knock off Baylor, that's never supposed to happen. You're like, this is the biggest upset of all time. And they're no, second biggest of the weekend.
All I know is that if I'm working in Las Vegas making a sports line, they go, it's Cam Newton's brother against you and LB. I go, it's Howard minus three. Like that, it's not 47 and a half if I'm there. But okay, that's all I got to say about that. But yes, good point.
Ryan?
Question about,
Ryan,
let's
go.
stay on this one more second here. Is there any possibility that there's not going to be any UNLV Lions for a bit?
Throne game.
I'm just saying, is there a chance that this week's going to be off the books? Is there a chance there's some shit? Because here's my question.
Totally
UNLV has been awful for a long time, right?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. About 3 years ago, they were one of the first teams to get the postseason ban for academics, like
Sure.
UConn got, right? For
Right.
basketball, sorry. So if they couldn't get to a bowl game with a bunch of idiot ineligible players, how are they going to get to a bowl game or get better when now they actually have smart kids and got themselves off of academic probation? It doesn't work that way.
Good point.
You don't get better when you get smarter kids in Las Vegas. Maybe at Stanford,
I was just going to bring up
smarter.
Stanford, but as soon as you said Las Vegas, I just shut up.
Come on. You don't get smarter kids going to Vegas and make your football team better. The writing was on the wall.
That's interesting. I thought when you started that, I thought you were going to mention how they are the team in Vegas and they had this improbable loss. I thought you were going with a blue chip scenario.
Nope, Happy doesn't own him yet. He's out buying himself a USC linebacker.
All
Best
right.
players money can buy.
We could go on for a long time on this topic, but I want to mention one more thing related to statistics. So, congratulations to Maryland, the Big Ten East, baby. Best division in college football, hands down. Maryland beats Texas by 10 points, but they were an 18-point underdog, so that's a 28-point swing versus what was expected and what actually happened. That's the biggest swing of the week for Power Five teams. Unfortunately, they lost their QB, who was out for the season, which I didn't know until earlier today. That's going to be rough. That's unfortunate because Maryland, although people are going to talk about Texas choking, Maryland played a great game. And if they can find another decent QB, they're going to be formidable. I would, as a Penn State fan, or if you're a Michigan fan or Ohio State fan, you got enough tough teams in that division. You don't want to see Maryland being feisty.
Tom, if you need some Maryland football updates, the easiest thing to do is just follow my boy Lights Out Sean Merriman on Twitter. He gets you all the updates from Maryland. He's on the field at practice, on the sideline, putting videos on Twitter. He's the guy to follow. Lights Out.
All right. Boy. Duly noted. New AP poll came out earlier today. Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson 3, Penn State 4, Oklahoma 5, USC slides down to 6. Washington, despite struggling at Rutgers, goes to 7. Michigan 8, Wisconsin 9. Florida State hanging around in the top 10. Any issues with that, anybody?
No, not yet. I'm fine with that.
Thoroughly fine.
Seems fine to me. USC and Washington did not perform as great as the other teams, but it's week one. As we say many times, a win's a win in week one. Nobody's going to care when you're looking back and deciding the playoff. So
no, especially the Pac-12 teams. The weather, it's early. The weather's nice out here. Don't read too much into these early games.
So that's a perfect segue, Ryan. Thank you. I wanted to segue into the lines by talking about Colorado State. We talked about last week on the podcast how Colorado State looked pretty good against Oregon State in week negative one, whatever we're calling that fake first week. So we thought they were going to compete against Colorado. Of course, they come out, they get shut down, they lose 17-3. It's our yearly reminder, do not overreact to week one, or in this case, week negative one. You don't know how good the competition is. USC looked a little rough. Washington looked a little rough against Rutgers. Maybe Rutgers is good. Maybe Western Michigan's still good. Maybe Washington and USC are overrated this year. So use some caution going into week two. Try not to overreact completely to week one. Do you guys have anything else you want to say about week one, or shall we move on to the lines?
No, that was a good recap. It was a fun-ass week one. Week two is usually a little bit of a lull. There's a couple spots, but the next 2 weeks, they kind of go, all right, NFL, you get going. Everyone gets excited. Then they come hard week four and hit you with conference play. Sometimes now already. It's crazy, but it's coming.
I think we've got some good ones this week. There's surely a lot of filler, but anyway, let's take a quick break, and then we'll come back and we'll do the big games first, and then we'll roll through everything. So be right back.
Let's do these fucking lines.
Dan, we're back. I'm leaving that part in. Oh, welcome back, everybody. I'm Tom. I'm here with Dan and Ryan, and we're ready to get into the lines, starting with the big games on Saturday, September 9th. Stanford at USC. The Trojans, despite their struggles with Western Michigan, are a 7-point favorite. The over-under is 56. The game is at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Guys, I don't think Vegas knew what to do with this line. Stanford played 2 weeks ago and crushed a team down in Australia, and USC struggled against a Western Michigan squad that we don't know how good they are. So am I accurate in saying that this is a random guess by Vegas?
Yeah, pretty close. I mean, USC playing at home is probably worth almost that line. You know, I mean, pretty close to it. I think on a neutral field, you'd be USC minus 3 or something like that. Stanford is the same team they always are. They're a hard nose, hit you in the mouth, run first, motion, audible, shifting, ton of shifts, trying to confuse defenses, and it always works. Or not always, but a lot of the time over the past, whatever, 10 years, it's worked. Actually, this is the 10-year anniversary weekend, I believe, of the Andrew Luck outright upset of USC. So I'm going to take Stanford in the 7 until I can see USC fully pulled together. USC is the biggest football team in Southern California, and I'm sure they've heard nothing but offseason praise since they won the Rose Bowl, and they think they're going to walk to the national title game in a week, Pac-12. So until they prove anything, I'll take the points, especially with Stanford, who can play anywhere. They don't care, home, away, road, ice, snow, rain, Australia, England. Rich Stadium, it don't matter. Like they can win anywhere.
It's weird
yeah.
because they live in a place where the
Stadium.
weather is exactly the same every day the entire year. How are they so versatile?
I know they're just a really well-coached team. Smart guys, smart campus, great place.
It's starting to pour here in Connecticut, if you can hear that sound in the background. I make little attempts to do quality control on the audio here, so if you hear raining in the background, deal with it. USC's offense looked very good. They looked like they were clicking. I have no concerns about them. Their defense still is not great against the run, and I think that's something that's really going to hurt them when they play Stanford. I mean, if they struggle a little bit against the run with Western Michigan, even if Western Michigan does turn out to be the best in the MAC, I think that's going to spell big problems. So I'm taking the 7. I'm not sure who will win. I think USC probably squeaks it out by a point or two, but I'll take those points for sure. Ryan?
Whew, we got ourselves a take the points clean sweeper. I will also take Stanford and the points. I think Stanford has had 2 weeks to prepare for this game. As we all have kind of mentioned, Shaw is a elite level coach, and I think if you give him 2 weeks to prepare, and USC's kind of got a little bit of a woe is us mentality after last week's game. I think this definitely sets up well for Stanford.
All right, clean sweep it is then. Stanford +7 is the pick. Auburn
Yep.
at Clemson. Clemson was -5.5 when I did these lines a little earlier. In some places, it's dropped even lower. So we're recording on Tuesday. I don't pay particular attention to the lines we say because these are going to shift by the time you listen to the podcast and certainly by the time they kick off. But the over-under at the moment is 54. We really don't know anything about these teams. Clemson looked amazing, but Kent State is not a good team. And Auburn played pretty well against Georgia Southern, but nothing amazed me. So, what do you guys think?
Well, first of all, if there's anyone listening from the covers.com forum, I'd like to welcome you to the podcast. I did post our three picks of the week last week that all went 3-0 with ease. And I say that because this is going to be the first of the three picks right here. This is going to be the total of the week. It's 54. We're going to go under 54 for the total of the week here for a couple different reasons. Watch some of Auburn. Wasn't impressed at all with Jarrett Stidham. I think his sample size is so small that it's going to be a while if ever he really turns it on. I saw him throw a horrible pick. It was just sloppy. I mean, they're at home playing Georgia Southern. He should have had a better performance than that. Clemson played a nobody cupcake team. So, this is the first big road game for the new Auburn quarterback on the road at one of the hardest places to play in the country against an elite Clemson defense. On the other side, Clemson's quarterback, first time he's playing a real team, playing an SEC defense in Auburn. If you look at defensive line, linebackers, and safe and secondaries as being three separate components of a defense, you could argue that both Auburn and Clemson, their individual units for all three of those are in the top 10 for the whole country. They have top 10 D lines, linebackers, and secondaries, respectively, which is crazy. All that combined with it being early in the year, sloppy offense, inexperienced quarterback play, I really like the under a lot. 54 is a lot of points. That's over seven touchdowns. So I don't think you're going to see seven touchdowns score in this game. So pick one, total of the week. Let's go for 2-0 here. Under 54, Auburn Clemson.
I know it's not your pick, your official pick, but do you have a pick for the game?
Auburn plus whatever points you can get.
Ryan, what's your take?
Whew, this is a tough one for me. I think that number is just really, it's, I really can talk myself into both sides. Vegas, again, as always, really kind of hit this one on the head. I probably would lean a little bit more towards Clemson, but I agree with Dan. I think the play in this game is probably going to be the under.
All right. I don't have a strong opinion on this game. I will go with, you know what? Dan's pointing at me. The motto of the year is go hard. So I will make a pick. I just want people to know my confidence level is at about a 27% for this. So I'll take the under. I'll go with you guys. And I am going to go out on a limb and lay the points with Clemson, thinking that they looked legitimate, albeit against a doormat of the MAC team. Auburn, just although the score was, it was a big score, they didn't look as good, just the eye test or whatever you want to call it. So I'm going to lay a small amount with Clemson, and our official pick will be the under 54 points.
One last tidbit, forgot to add, if you are picking a side, last year in the SEC-ACC kind of challenge that they do the early in the season, the ACC actually went 9-3 against the SEC. Very impressive. This year, any guesses?
No.
SEC undefeated. Keep that in mind for week two.
Well, it's still early, but with Florida State and DeAndre Francois being out for the season, it seems like the ACC might take a step back. But I wouldn't say that yet. Clemson looked great. Some of the other teams look like they're coming on, so we'll see.
And as we talked about in the season preview, I don't think a ACC team gets in the playoff this year. So obviously, horrible injury for Florida State, tough loss to Alabama, but Oklahoma and Oklahoma State are pretty happy. And if Ohio State wins this weekend, Oklahoma State's path to the playoff gets a lot easier than 7-1, I think. So we'll put that out there.
Certain smart people may have laid money on that before the season.
Mason Rudolph looked all right, too. Anyway, let's just keep going.
All right. It's a torrential downpour here, so I'm going to close the window. So why don't you guys go ahead and talk about Georgia at Notre Dame. 5-point line. Jake Fromm gets the start for UGA. He looked good.
Of course, he's, you know, it's standard issue Georgia-ish quarterback. It could be ranging from a Matt Stafford-ish to a complete piece of trash, but they all basically look the same and play very similar. Notre Dame, like I said, had a lot of really close losses last year. The wheels kind of fell off, yada, yada. They covered week one, as we expected here, on Take the Points. And again, I think Notre Dame's going to cover this week. I think Georgia's overrated. I think Kirby Smart's a little in over his head, to be honest with you. But I do like Notre Dame to put the hammer down and beat them by 14. This is one of my favorite picks of the week, actually. This was almost my lock of the week was Notre Dame, my second favorite pick of the week.
Wow.
Wow.
Ryan, what do you think? I can't follow that up.
That's some harsh words right there.
I know. And I don't like Notre Dame. You know I don't like Notre Dame. So when I say this shit, it hurts. My heart hurts.
Yeah, but you guys also were kind of shitting on Georgia last week anyways.
We always do.
Oh, I stand by that 100%. That is a lifetime achievement award.
Fair enough.
Don't blame Kirby Smart for that. That's been brewing for 15 years plus.
Their NFL team is so unbelievable, Georgia. I mean, it's just, it's like they might win it all. But, you know, it's pretty crazy. But
one day we'll break down the college teams that did the least with the most talent. Obviously, UNC is your front runner there, but Georgia might be high on the list.
UNC. All right.
Yeah, so I was the lone person last week who was on Georgia and said I kind of like Georgia to win the SEC East. Butch Jones didn't do much to dissuade that. Florida's disaster of a quarterback situation did little to dissuade that.
Dissuade.
South Carolina.
They're good.
They're okay, but they're not there. They're not ready yet. I think my Georgia play might still be alive. I'm rolling with it. I'm going to roll with Georgia this week against Notre Dame.
I smell Alabama minus 19.5 in the SEC title game again, and everyone's going to talk themselves into how Georgia's looking better, and Alabama's going to win 47-10, and we don't need to watch. It's the same thing every year. Looking forward to it.
I'm not disagreeing with that.
We're going to Vegas that weekend. like 100%. Like just betting whoever it's Alabama versus whatever shitbag team. I'll lay 28. I don't care. It happened last year. It was a
we
joke.
Did it. We did it last year. We went for college, the college conference title game weekend of Vegas. It was so fun.
We know this is gonna happen. Like we know it's gonna be Watch out for their team speed on defense could cause hurt some problems. Nope. 47-10.
Dan, right, is the Alabama dynasty coming to an end?
I don't know.
This might be the 14th straight year we've had to hear that.
You know, Kirby Smart did coach at Alabama. Maybe he's got inside to their game plan. Wow. No, that was like five offensive coordinators ago. Like, it's been so ripped up.
By the time that game comes around, by the time that game happens, Alabama and Nick Saban will have hired like 17 former Georgia guys as special advisors to sit in that booth where they had like 38 assistant coaches last week.
Yep.
They now hire a guy from whatever school they're playing. They're like, oh, we're playing Fresno State? Get David Carr on the line.
That's pretty much right. Whatever. Oh, this is so funny.
All right, let's move along. Let's move along. We could make fun of Georgia all day and Notre Dame. I'll take the points in that game. I don't care. I'd rather watch the next game, which is Oklahoma at Ohio State. Go into the Shoe. 7.5 point line in favor of Ohio State. 64.5 over under. We all know that Oklahoma looked pretty good, and Baker Mayfield looked like he picked up where he left off last year. But Ohio State, after a shaky first half, their offense really came alive. J.K. Dobbins, the freshman running back, has really got some skill. I think he adds an element to the team they were missing last year with just starting Mike Weber. So I'm leaning Ohio State, but I will certainly take 7.5 points in this game.
All right. Hey, Tom, give me a name of a marginal Penn State running back over the past 15 years that we've totally forgotten. Just give me any name. Or spill it. For that
sure.
Time.
Evan Royster.
Royster.
Yeah, there
okay,
you go.
Good. All right. Indiana makes Evan fucking Royster look good, too. So we don't even talk about the Ohio State offense looking good. Moving on here.
Dan, this is a new Indiana.
Sorry, I didn't mean to shoot down your point so hard, but...
No, that's good. I like that you bring some historical Penn State knowledge into your mocking me.
The key to managing people is relating. And I'm like, Tom, name your favorite marginal Penn State. You're like, I remember that guy. He sucked. All right, so moving on. Oklahoma's offense is really good. Oklahoma has the best offensive line in the country. All five guys are going to the NFL. Locks. 100%. This game just comes down to can Ohio State, you know, apply pressure to Baker Mayfield? If yes, they're going to roll him at home with 100,000 people and run the football. Ohio State's going to score in Oklahoma. It happened last year. However, if they, you know, can give him protection, he's going to pick him apart worse than Indiana did. So it's a weird thing. I think if Ohio State, you know, finds a way to get to Mayfield and starts running the ball and establishes their game, it'll be more in the second half. I would probably like an Oklahoma first half spread if I could get one. Maybe like if you get Oklahoma, maybe plus like, you know, 4.5, 5, 6, I don't know, in the first half. I'd be interested in that. Gun to my head, I'd probably take Oklahoma in the points. If Stoops was coach, this line would probably be 2 points less, to be honest with you. They don't have any faith in the kid out there at the horseshoe. But, lean the over in this. Lean Oklahoma. Don't love either. But, those are my leads.
Are you saying Vegas is disrespecting millennial coach Lincoln Riley? They think he's going to be busy eating his avocado toast and not going to Applebee's? Doing all the other bad things millennials do?
A lot of avocado toast. Skyrocketing the market. Flooding the market.
So Ohio State against Indiana, which is the only evidence we have, Indiana passed on them in the first half, moved the ball almost at will. But Ohio State did shut down the run the entire game. So they have the ability to make Indiana one-dimensional, and perhaps they have the ability to make Oklahoma one-dimensional. Oklahoma, of course, doesn't have the rushing game they did last year with my fantasy starter, Joe Mixon. I think they can stop them. I think this game will, I think you're going to see a defensive touchdown from Ohio State in this game, which proves to win the game, but I don't think they'll be able to cover 7.5, 8 points. So TTP, take the points. Ryan?
Whew. I mean, probably my two most hated teams in college football.
Wait, wait. You haven't changed your opinion now that Bob Poops is gone?
Not yet.
No, big game still Bob stinks. Poops is, well, his asshole brother's still there ruining that defense. And
find him.
And speaking of that, on that note,
what has Mike Stoops ever done to you?
Well,
his asshole brother.
Listen, 16 stone.
That's
told
right.
Me.
It's the only, it's the best
we were record. All thinking about Bush lyrics when you said that.
Of course.
Always do.
With that being said, I think I actually really like the over in this game. I think this game is definitely – I think there's going to be a defensive score. I think there's going to be a special team score. And I think there's going to be some weird shit. So unless there's some crazy weather rolls into Columbus, I would play the over.
Ohio State's got some young defensive backs that Baker Mayfield could pick on should he choose. Should
oh,
he
he's
going to
double move.
He wants.
Oh, Mayfield loves that pump. He loves the like pump the screen, the fake bubble screen, and then just kind of dance around for 3 seconds and then bomb it.
Yep.
Some of those young Ohio State guys are going to get in trouble. If you can find a prop on longest TD in this game, that would be an amazing prop. I think you're probably going to get it at like 55 and a half yards, and it's going to be 80 plus.
You're right.
There you go. Take the points, listeners.
I'm on board with that 100%. Look for the longest TD prop. That's a good pick. I think our consensus pick then is Oklahoma plus the points.
Yeah.
But not to win. So.
Just real quick. It's one of those really hard games where, like, we all kind of know Ohio State's going to win this game, but we all kind of think they're not going to cover. Those are the hardest games to bet. They really are. We're like, they're going to win, but only by like 3. You're like, very hard.
40-38 sounds about right to me.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Sure. It'll be one of those games where on Sunday we text each other, how the fuck did Ohio State win that game? They looked terrible the whole game.
Yeah.
All right. Speed round, gentlemen. Although this one might not be speedy because I know Dan's got some thoughts about the Friday night game. Oklahoma State at South Alabama, 28-point line. I don't know, Dan. That seems kind of high for Oklahoma State. You think they got the offensive firepower?
Yeah. In fact, they do. I don't know if you guys tuned in and saw that. They're just like exactly like Oklahoma State with like Whedon and Blackman. It's the same team again, like – those guys just look like NFL players. Like, it's hard to not that Brandon Whedon was. That's not what I meant. But
hey, he
like,
was until 3 days ago.
Yeah, but you know, it's just one of those things. Like, you see them in the pocket, you see the size of wide receiver, you see a couple of those long balls were just like in stride, 60 yards down the field, like perfectly. Like, that's a legit offense that if they got a score, can score, and if they get rolling and get to 5-6-0. Oklahoma State's got as good a chance as anyone to go to the playoffs. They really do. Really good shot.
In case it wasn't clear, I was being facetious with my question. We're riding with Oklahoma State. Every
always.
Year we identify about 2 or 3 teams that early in the season just score a ton of points and Vegas can't keep up. They catch up by about week 4, but you can hit them really hard early on and make a lot of money. And this is a game where Oklahoma State, although it is a Friday night game and it's away, if they're clicking, they could cover this by themselves. And they might have to, because, yeah. Look at a first half line in this, too. If you can get a 18-point first half line, that might be worth a shot.
Good call.
That's a great call.
This is the highest degree of confidence pick on covers.com. 80% of people leaning Oklahoma State, as they should. All right, the hits keep on coming, Dan. Your next favorite squad. Florida Atlantic goes to Wisconsin. It's a 32-point line, over under 58. Lane's team did not look great this past weekend.
No. Lane's going to lose here, and he knows he's going to 0-2. But the schedule sets up nice for them, allegedly, from what I've read going forward. So I'm staying away from this one. Oh, wait, I'm not allowed. Wisconsin minus 32.5. I'll take the favorite. But, yeah, not great for Lane. He was thinking about, you know, I'm sure he was watching that A&M game, and he had his phone in his hand, and he was, like, about to follow A&M football. And then he was like, maybe I'll do UCLA. First it was UCLA. Then he did A&M. And then probably Tennessee again and Georgia Tech last night. So.
Right.
Lane's just been known to follow everyone on Twitter for potential jobs going forward.
Anybody who is friends with Lane on LinkedIn probably saw like 7 different notifications. Lane Kiffin has updated his resume.
Yep.
He's like, it's true. Love the triple option. Hire me, Georgia Tech.
He approaches working in college football like a normal person approaches working in the job market, where you can just quit and be like, I don't want to see those people anymore. I'll go work for this other company. It's a huge city. They won't know. But you're like, Lane, we just saw you. You're just the coach of Alabama. He's like, really? You saw me there? I was just, what do you mean? You're like, well, you were on TV. You were in the national title game. Oh, I don't know.
I got an opportunity that I just couldn't turn down at Florida Atlantic. It was just a great opportunity. And, you know, I loved it. I loved my time at Alabama, but, you know, the opportunity was so good. I felt like it was something I had to do. But now, you know, having done that, and I don't regret it. I don't regret it at all. But having done that, I feel like I'm ready to move on to Tennessee or Georgia Tech or UCLA. Where am I? Where am I interviewing right now?
Michigan State. They got opening. One last thing. We have shut down the Take the Points Twitter and Facebook. However, the webpage still works, and I will write a fake Lane Kiffin resume, and we will post it to the webpage. I think that'd be pretty good.
I'm going to find Lane Kiffin on LinkedIn and see if I can infiltrate and become friends with him. You know what? We should make a fake profile for like a brand profile on LinkedIn that's just like, I don't know, State University Tech or one of those ones you see in a movie, and we should just friend request Lane Kiffin and see if he bites. He'll be like, huh, State Tech, huh.
How much money are they paying?
All right, so Wisconsin, I guess, is the pick there. Wisconsin can score. There, we'll get into Wisconsin more when they play a better team, but I like their chances this year.
We spent all our time on that game cracking Lane jokes again with no real Lane content breakdown within the game all year. Real FIU content. We're not going to mention a player, just all Lane jokes.
I can give an honest assessment of Florida Atlantic's performance against Navy if you want, but I don't think people want that. I think they prefer the Lane Kiffin LinkedIn jokes.
Oh, this is great.
Moving along, we're sticking with some comedy, Dan. South Florida and Chaz Strong, coming off a hot win, now have to play the resilient UConn Huskies, who somehow managed a massive comeback. Some would say the greatest comeback in school history against the Holy Cross Crusaders. Now Chaz Strong and South Florida have to come to the Rent in East Hartford. Unfortunately for UConn, it will be a pretty nice day. I think it'll be 73 and sunny here, so they don't get the snow advantage that they had the last time I actually went to see South Florida at UConn in a blizzard in December, in the worst sporting experience of my entire life. That's not a joke. It was the only time I left a game in the third quarter. It was the earliest I've ever left a game. It was bad. But anyway, that was a different time. Back then, their coach was Randy Edsel. So,
wait a minute.
You know what, Dan? I'll take UConn and 17.5 points against South Florida. I think Chaz Strong may have overplayed his hand a little that first week. That's not the expression I'm looking for, but I think he might have played a little better than the actual talent level.
Overplayed his hand. All right,
That's the
so
wrong expression. I understand that. And as soon as it was coming out, I knew that. But
I'm gonna edit that.
no, we'll leave
So
it in. He overachieved in that first game.
winners of week one college football, Chaz Strong for sure. He gets a win. He gets Texas losing at home by 18 to Maryland, and he gets to look on the schedule and see the UConn Huskies coming up. That's a trifecta, my friends. Chaz Strong had a great first week. However, as we all know, Chaz Strong does not have two consecutive good weeks. Therefore, UConn Huskies plus 18 points or whatever. Let's do this.
2-0, Ryan, get on the UConn Husky bandwagon. Come on.
No, 41 nothing. Let's go.
Get on the
Okay.
fast track bus, Ryan.
41 nothing, South Florida. Moving on.
Tease it down.
Me and Dan are riding the fast track with the University of Connecticut. Ryan is on the swamp water fan boat with South Florida.
That's right.
Joey.
Me and Joey Swampwater.
East Carolina at West Virginia. Either you guys watch Virginia Tech, West Virginia, you have any thoughts on West Virginia? East Carolina lost to James Madison by 20 points last week. James Madison is the D2 champ, so they're a legitimate team, but losing by 20 to a D2 team is not.
James Madison was actually closed as a 3-point favorite in that game. It opened as East Carolina minus 2, and like that line swung 5 points in a week, and everybody made money apparently. No, not much of a feeling on this. Vatek, won a close game. West Virginia looked all right. Will Grier looked all right.
They both look decent, I
Yeah,
thought.
both teams just looked like they're gonna play in a bowl game between December 28th and the 30th. Like it's they're gonna be both 8-4 or 9-3, and you know what you're going to get, but that's okay. There's not much going on in that general Blacksburg, whatever. Why am I blanking on West Virginia's town?
Morgantown.
Morgantown
West
region. So,
Virginia,
yeah.
Will Grier will be getting an Advocare themed swag bag on December 22nd. That is a guarantee.
Most likely.
Okay, I got some things to say about Will Grier. I like him, but he's smoking Jay Cutler. It's amazing. That dude looks like Charlie Whitehurst, plays like Jay Cutler. He's gonna throw for 360 and beat somebody he should not have any right to beat. And then he's gonna throw four picks and a half, and they're gonna get waxed as like double digit under over to our favorites. It's going to be hilarious. Will Grier is going to be one of my favorite guys to not gamble on this year because no matter what I pick, he's going to do the opposite. He's throwing for 300 or four picks
Or both.
every week, every damn week. It's amazing. That guy has got a rocket for an arm
He does.
and he's got shit for brains.
All right, I'm cutting you off there.
Whatever.
Take the points, loves Will Grier. I think looks like Whitehurst throws like Cutler is the worst Tinder profile of all time.
Might also post that underneath Lane's resume on the
I would lay it if we had to pick, and we do because the theme is go hard this year, so I would lay it with West Virginia. Dan, Cincy at Michigan, 34.5 point line.
Cincinnati, what in the hell is going on over there? We thought that they were horrible, 5, 10 years ago. They've reached a new level. Luke Fickell, there's a Luke Fickell, is he coached? Yeah, Luke
Yeah.
Fickell's got his work cut out for him over there. They beat Austin Peay 26-14 last week. It was a 3-point game in the fourth quarter. Austin Peay's lost 25 in a row. You guys know that? 20. I mean, this should have been a 56 nothing game, and they almost lost. They have no talent on their team. They're a total wreck. And now they go to Michigan, who's coming off the big Florida game, could have a letdown, but I think it would be a letdown, except that Cincinnati is in the state of Ohio, and Luke Fickell used to be the defensive coordinator for the Ohio State Buckeyes.
Sure, briefly, the interim coach.
Oh, correct. You're right. And so yes, look for motivation out of Harbaugh. He knows about Cincinnati's awfulness. This is gonna be a shutout, 55-0.
35-point spread and a 49-point over under. The
We've seen this
Vegas is
before.
basically saying that Michigan's going to basically beat them 50 nothing. And we know that Harbaugh, when he gets the chance to do that, such as Rutgers last year, he is a dick and he will run it up and try to get shutouts. Like he loves that shit. So if you can find a shutout prop, that's a good one. You might get like 2 or 3 to 1 on that.
Louisville at North Carolina opened some places at -6 in favor of Louisville, now closer to 10.
Ten.
Quick correction by the fans putting money on Louisville. Dan, what do you think?
You got last year's Heisman Trophy winner. He's playing against North Carolina, who just lost at home to Cal, who's, nothing special. So it looks like a pretty straightforward Louisville, win. But oh
Oh,
no!
this music means it's Dan Partridge's Trap of the Week. Whenever you hear a hip hop song that Tom has never heard before and has no idea what it is, that means we've got a trap situation. Dan, you like North Carolina?
I love North Carolina. North Carolina, Ryan shaking his head.
Dan, before you go on, what is our trap song of the week?
That was the hit of the year. That was Migos, Bad and Bougie. Bougie. Yeah, that song's pretty big. Anyway, North Carolina. They start out the year with two home games, home against Cal, and then this week home against Louisville. Then they go at Old Dominion. Then they start their conference schedule. This is the NFL mentality sneaking into college football, where in their minds, they just want to win one out of two games to begin their year and split at home. They expect to go 1-1 and then win against Old Dominion and start the year 2-1. They choked the game away against Cal. It was 35-30 in a high-scoring game. Standard issue North Carolina game. Doesn't matter who's winning or who's behind. It's always some game decided by within 5 points in the mid-30s. I believe last year we took Pitt against North Carolina. It was the same thing, 8-point spread. I like North Carolina. They always have a lot of talent. They like to play the level of competition. They're one of the weird, spooky teams that can play anyone, and they really don't care who they are. I like North Carolina. I love the 10 points, and I will take them this week at home, plus the 10 in the trap of the week to cover against Louisville, who, by the way, only beat Purdue by 7 last week and really hasn't looked good in what, 6, 7 games in a row now?
That is correct, although many people are saying that this is a new Purdue team that is no longer the worst in the Big Ten.
Very possible, but that being said, Louisville hasn't looked right since probably what, mid-October last year, and this
Sure.
is a perfect spot for them to go and lay an egg in North Carolina to once again raise the flag and be Larry Fedora really knows what he's doing, and they're going to finish at 7-5 like they always do. So
Yep.
I
And
like
they have
North
Clemson.
Give me
And they
ten.
have Clemson next week.
Yeah, they're
Louisville's hosting Clemson next week, so this
trapped.
is the double trap game of the week.
Big trap. The bear trap.
Yeah, that's a huge trap. That's the biggest game of the year for them now that Francois's out until his backup proves otherwise. So, as much as I do not like North Carolina and I do not believe in North Carolina and want
What?
no part of ever putting money on North Carolina. You are dead right that this is just a classic trap game, and therefore I will actually stay away altogether.
Okay, so you took the words out of my mouth. There's no way I'm laying money on a North Carolina team that just lost to Cal. You've convinced me not to bet on Louisville, and I think that's the best I can offer. All right, let's move quickly through some more lines. Iowa at Iowa State. Iowa, a 3-point favorite. Probably going to be a low scoring game. What do you think, Dan?
Iowa's defense is really, really good. They were super elite last week. This line opened as a pick'em. It keeps moving up. Every day I look at it, it's a half point higher. Now it's at 3. It's going to be 3.5 or 4 maybe by kick, which is crazy. I think Iowa wins pretty straightforward here.
All right.
This is a great hook'em opportunity with the under.
Yeah.
Iowa laying points and the under?
Correct.
Sounds good. Let's see. Wake Forest at Boston College. Boston College is a 1-point favorite, over under 42.5. And I'll tell you what, folks, that over under is not 42.5 because of stellar defensive play.
No, this game could be 3-0. Sorry, Tom.
So BC beat Northern Illinois 23-20 on the road. Wake beat Presbyterian. I know it's Presbyterian, but they beat them 51-7, so they can score some points. This line to me indicates that we think Northern Illinois is as good as or better than Wake Forest. I think I'm going to pick an upset here. Wake Forest outright. Ugly game.
I hate Boston College. I love it.
17-14 Wake.
I agree with the outright.
Western Michigan at Michigan State. 7.5-point line in favor of Michigan State at home. Are we believing in Michigan State? Are they back after a down year?
No, but I think this has to do with Western Michigan playing USC last week. They might just run out of gas in the second half, just getting smashed by, you know, NFL talent. So it's really tough. I'm going to take Michigan State, but I don't love it.
I'm going to take the points in this game for basically one reason, and it's the regional recruiting theorem that we've talked about every year on this podcast. You know, a lot of those Western Michigan guys were guys that probably wanted to go to Wisconsin and were not recruited by Wisconsin or Michigan State. Sorry. So I think this is a great opportunity for them to kind of prove themselves against the big boys that took their scholarship. So I'm actually going to take the points.
Okay. Middle Tennessee State at our home city of Syracuse. Guys, I'm laying the points with Syracuse, -9. I like this matchup for them. Syracuse can move the ball. They do well against inferior opponents, as we saw last week. I like it. Cuse. Orange is the new fast.
I don't think I've ever laid points with Syracuse ever, so we're going to have to go ahead and take the points with Middle Tennessee State. Move right on.
I'm also going to take the points with Middle Tennessee State. They're head coach or coordinator, I think their coordinator maybe, is the former Syracuse coach, Scott Schaefer, that was fired in favor of Dino Babers, the current coach. So there's a little bit of that revenge factor. The guy that Syracuse fired is now going back to the dome. He's getting moved up to 9.5. I'll take those points, and I kind of like that over 73. That's a huge number, but there's going to be so much offense in this game. Middle Tennessee can score. Syracuse loves to sling it 50, 60, 70 times a game. I think the over is in play.
Cuse, big. Big.
Homer. Homer.
You can't see that. Yeah, this doesn't come through on a podcast, but Dan and Ryan, their faces are just disgusted by this pick. We spent too many years there for me to make that pick. I know, but I'm doing it anyway. Pittsburgh at Penn State, -20.5 at the moment, over under 68 points. Pitt beat Penn State last year, as we all know, but this year, to me, the teams have flipped. So Penn State is the experienced team who's playing at a high level, whereas Pitt is the young team trying to find themselves. Last year, McSorley, it was his second game. Saquon Barkley was still a young guy. Pitt had starting Buffalo Bills quarterback Jay Peterman and the great James Conner. So Pitt isn't what they were last year, and Penn State's much better. So another thing, Phil Steele, the smartest man in college football, pointed out earlier today that Penn State has covered 11 straight games, which I did not know. So although the line is higher than I think it should be, I'm rolling with Penn State until proven otherwise, at least until they get into Big Ten play. Sorry, folks, but Skype just cut out as soon as I made positive comments about Syracuse. They did not like that. So we are on Penn State Pitt. Dan, what do you think?
I try to find a reason to take Pitt, but like you said, they've just lost too much. They didn't look good. Their USC transfer quarterback looked mediocre, only threw for 175 yards. Penn State's rolling. They got the motivation. Lay with Penn State until further notice.
Agreed.
Fresno State at Alabama, 44-point line. Do we stay away from that one? Or do we predict a 48-0 shutout?
It's going to be 45-0. Yeah.
Yep.
I like a shutout prop in that. If you can find it, put a couple bucks on that. Miami, Mark Richt and the resurgent Miami Hurricanes at Arkansas State, 15 points. Anyone have a take?
I like my Ark State squad always. I'll take 15.5 with Ark State against Richt all day.
San Jose State at Texas, Texas minus 27.
Can't trust Texas yet.
No, stay away.
TCU at Arkansas. TCU is a 3.5-point favorite. Revenge game. Arkansas went to TCU and won in overtime last year.
Give me Trill.
Yeah, TCU is the team right now.
3.5 seems a little high for me. If it were 2.5, I'd feel more inclined to take it, but I would not bet on TCU. I'll go against you guys on that one. Nebraska at Oregon. 13.5-point line as of last check, although this one's moving a lot. Over under 70.5. If you checked in the preseason, I believe Oregon was a 4-point favorite in this game. So based on 1 week, it's shifted by 10 points. This is a tough one because these teams played bad teams week one. This is an example of how it's tough. You can't weigh week one too heavily, I think.
Yeah, exactly. This is an overreaction to week one. But like we kind of said, we all liked Oregon this year, so we'll see how that goes. That's a lot of points. I'd probably take Nebraska, though.
Quack, quack, let's go.
I think I would take the points with Nebraska, but an Oregon win. Hawaii at UCLA, 23-point line. Is this a letdown game? Short turnaround?
Yes.
Hawaii's a weird team.
Yes, but Hawaii's so bad it won't matter.
Okay.
Hawaii sucks. They gave up like 30-something to UMass.
UL Monroe at Florida State. Florida State with the new freshman quarterback, now a 32.5-point favorite. Will it matter in this game, though?
Yes. I don't think Florida State's going to cover this game. I'll take the points.
Stay away from me.
I'm with you, Dan. Florida State, they have a new quarterback who they'll be breaking in. Their strength is defense. I suspect this could be a lower scoring game, maybe like a 28-30-7, something like that. UL Monroe is always good for a score or two. I'll take the points. South Carolina, Will Muschamp, Dan's favorite coach, against Missouri. Missouri, a 2-point favorite, which doesn't make a ton of sense.
It's really interesting. People like South Carolina. They could be a sneaky team this year. Missouri looked like they had no defense at all last week. I'm going to give the advantage to South Carolina here. I think they're going to cover.
Totally agree. I think this is a super weird, really interesting line. This is probably the one that jumped out the most at me this week. I just don't understand it, but I also can't explain why. I don't know why this line is the way it is, but I can't really argue one way or another why it should be different. So I'm going to take South Carolina because I think they're just flat out the better team.
I agree. I'm going to take Will Muschamp. If I get 2 points, great, but I would take them if they were favored by two in this game. Mississippi State at Louisiana Tech. We can skip that game. Don't know how that made the list. Dan, New Mexico State at New Mexico. We talk about this game every year. We used to call it the, what do we call it? Not the shit bowl, but something comparable to that.
It was something like that, where every year we would just always fire the under, but things have changed. Both the offenses score a bunch of points. I'm going over 68 in this game. Over. Over.
Dan, I feel like the end of Rocky IV, where he says, if I can change, you can change. If New Mexico State and New Mexico are both decent football teams, I feel like I don't even know the age we're living in. But this is what's happening.
Times, they are a-changing.
It's a strange time to live in. Things have changed from our childhood. By our childhood, I mean when we were 31.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Let's take an over. UTSA at Baylor. Baylor minus 16.5. What a pitiful performance by Baylor. Can they cover a 16.5-point line against UTSA?
You can't wager on it.
No. No, they cannot.
Okay. I think that's the correct answer. They are capable of covering this, but you have to stay away as a gambler. I think it's a foolish move to bet on them. All right, one more game before we get to the Pac-12 after dark. UNLV at Idaho. Idaho, a 6.5-point favorite. We talked about UNLV against Howard already, so we don't need to go back over how bad they are, but you guys like Idaho.
We do. It's their last year before they become an independent. They want to make a bowl game. They actually have some talent on offense. UNLV just choked out a 6.5 touchdown spread. Lay the 6.5. Go Vandals.
Oh, absolutely. All day, real big, multiple units on the Vandals.
After what UNLV did last week, I know that Cam Newton's brother was involved, so it might be an anomaly, but you have to go against them until proven otherwise. All right, fellas, the Pac-12, as we know, is past my bedtime here on the East Coast, so I turn this over to you. We have Minnesota at Oregon State -2, Utah at BYU, BYU -1, and let's start with those two.
Okay, each of those spreads are wrong. Why is Oregon State favored over anybody? I don't care how bad Minnesota is, and I don't care they got to fly across the country. Give me Minnesota. And why the hell is BYU favored over Utah? Utah's a better team. BYU looked like crap in their opener. Give me Utah to win outright. I like both dogs to win. No points needed.
Yeah, absolutely agree. Oregon State should not be favored ever to anybody at this point. And then, Dan, actually, that line has shifted, and it is now Utah -1.
Yeah, there you go.
Which is what it should be. It is a rivalry game. Not too far of a ride between these two campuses. I've actually spent a little time at both about a year and a half ago. So I'm going to go ahead and go with Utah. Big okay. win. I think they're winning by over a touchdown.
I'm on board with both of those picks. Houston at Arizona. Dan, your home team, well, your home team's Arizona State, so they got San Diego State. So break down the Arizona teams for me.
Well, each of them are underachieving, lazy, complacent universities. Anyway, Arizona's not good. They haven't been good in a couple of years. They have new players on offense. They're not great. And here comes Houston with their way superior head coach, Mr. Herman. They're fantastic. Oh, sorry.
Herman's gone. Major Applewhite, though, is a great coach.
Major Applewhite. Sorry, that's what I meant. Major Applewhite is now there, which is fantastic. And keep in mind who the quarterback is for Houston playing this year. Kyle Allen gets the start, conveniently, in Tucson, where he will be plenty comfortable and rip it up. So Houston will shred Arizona, easily cover the 1-point spread. Lock of the week, Cougars to beat the Wildcats in the desert.
Big pick.
Could not agree more. That is the perfect lock of the week.
So true.
The Rich Rod firing tour continues to roll through.
That's so true. Kyle Allen coming back to Arizona is like the most perfect thing ever, too. I mean, come on.
Listen, I saw Kyle Allen play in high school. I sat one row behind his parents for about a half before I couldn't stomach the fans saying the things they were saying around them. So I had to move and went and sat with the slot receiver's parents instead. But yeah, Kyle Allen, he's going to have a great fan base. It's about 2 hours to get down to the game, and they're going to kill him.
Yep.
And ASU, do not like them. I like San Diego State. I know they're having a little bit of a down swing because they lost Pumphrey, but I still will take the points, 3.5 or 4.
All right, Ryan, this last game of the night is for you. You're high on both of these teams last week. Boise State goes to Washington State. Washington State and Mike Leach are a 10.5-point favorite earlier today. I'm sure that line's going to shift a little bit. Two teams you love. What are you supposed to do?
I know. This is a huge game for both of their seasons, I think. It is a non-conference, so it's not make or break, but it's definitely a huge game. 10.5 just feels like a lot of points. Boise, want to wait and see if Rippon is going to be 100% healthy and good to go. Leaning Washington State, but that 59 over-under is just super tempting too. Washington State can score. Boise had a pretty good defense. They don't really score as much as they used to, but 59 is really low for a college game. So for me, I'm leaning Washington State and the over.
Dan, you on board with that?
Yeah, I don't know. It's really tough. I mean, it's kind of, two different, styles going against each other. I'll take Boise in 10.5. I don't remember the last time Boise was getting 10.5. That seems like a lot of points, so. And I have no feel on the total, so. Yeah, that's all I got.
When was the last time Mike Leach had a spread in the 50s?
I can't tell you.
That's crazy. Never. I want to see that number.
Never.
So, Dan, remind us, your lock of the week is Houston over Arizona, -2. Your trap of the week is North Carolina hosting Louisville. And your over-under.
Under 54, Auburn-Clemson.
Okay, 3-0 last week. Looking forward to seeing how you do this week. Hey, Dan, even if you suck and totally shit the bed, you're still 500 on the season, so that's good.
That's the beauty of starting 0-3. It helps so much. Starting 0-3 is the worst. It's such an uphill climb, so happy to start well, but I really want to do well this year.
All right, so we're done with the lines. We are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we introduced it last week, but we are breaking down the greatest teams of our lifetime and pairing them in a bracket against each other. We've come up with the official final 16-team bracket, and we are going to do a matchup, and we'll be right back. You'll have to wait until after this. I was going to say break, but to the listener, it's going to be like 10 seconds of music, then we'll be right back. So wait 12 seconds, and then you will hear the teams that we're pairing off this week. Be right back. All right, we're back once again, and we are ready to pick the next matchup in our greatest teams of our lifetime bracket. I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Ryan Spillett now. He's going to, why don't you re-explain the concept quickly, and then we've come up with our official bracket, so why don't you go through and tell people what we got? Who are we going to face off against each other?
Yeah, absolutely, Tom. Thanks. We went back to 1992. Really, that's kind of the start of our memories as far as football and watching it with that kind of intention. So, yeah, we're just going through, picking the best championship teams, ranking the top 16, and then putting them into a bracket and picking some imaginary spreads and kind of breaking that down. So, yeah, without further ado, here's the bracket. The 1 versus 16 matchup. The 1 seed is the 95 Nebraska Cornhuskers, and the 16 is the 2004 Auburn Tigers. The 2 seed, 04 USC, versus the 15 seed, the 2014 Ohio State Buckeyes. The 3 seed, we already spoke about, 05 VY Texas, versus the 14 Deshaun Watson Clemson Tigers. The 4 seed, the 01 Miami Hurricanes. The 13 seed, the 2010 Cam Newton Auburn Tigers. The 5 seed is the 2012 Alabama Crimson Tide. The 12 seed is the 94 Penn State Nittany Lions. The 6 seed is the 08 Tebow Florida against the 11 seed 92 Alabama. The 7 seed is the 93 Florida Gators. Florida State Seminoles. My bad. 93 Florida State Seminoles versus the 10 seed 09 Alabama Crimson Tide. And the 8-9 matchup. 96 Florida versus 99 Florida State.
That's really
excited about this bracket, the way this worked out. And for week 2, we're just going to go ahead and start right at the top with a 1-16 matchup. the 95 Nebraska team versus the 04 Auburn Tigers. We added Auburn late because being on probation with the NCAA, they were not acknowledged, but they were undefeated and, in our opinion, worthy of the championship titles. Dan, what do you got for a line? 95 Nebraska, 2004 Auburn. Actually, Tom, do you want to give us a few notable players?
Yeah, before you do the line, let me – one thing we did so people don't get upset is when teams won back-to-back titles like 2011, 2012 Alabama or 94-95 Nebraska, we just went ahead and picked the better team so that we didn't have the same team in this over and over. So without further ado, the number one seed is the 95 Nebraska Cornhuskers. And for those who don't remember this team or who are too young, this is the team led by Tommy Frazier. This is the team that beat number two Florida, the Danny Werfel Florida, 62-24 in the Fiesta Bowl, which was just one of the all-time dominating efforts in a championship game that I ever remember. They also had Tom Osborne coaching, of course, Amon Green and Lawrence Phillips splitting duty at running back. Not great receivers, but this team never passed anyway, so it didn't matter. Michael Booker, Terrell Farley, Mike Minter, the great Mike Minter, Grant Wistrom, Jared Tomich, Jason Peter. Good. Yeah, these guys were all good. Ryan Terwilliger, Tyrone Williams, a great, great defense that bottled up a lot of teams, including that Florida team they beat. And that Florida team they beat is essentially the same Florida team that won it all in 96, who is in our bracket. So Nebraska, to us, was the one seed. They just crushed everybody. And then the 2004 Auburn team, they were the 16th seed, so they didn't officially win a title, which is one of the reasons we put them a little lower. They also don't have quite as many memorable guys. They did have Jason Campbell at quarterback and the two-headed running back beast of Cadillac Williams and Ronnie Brown, both of whom went on to pretty decent pro careers, I would say. Both had extended pro careers, so that was a really good offensive team, and they had some good defensive guys who may not have been big names, but they had a great defense. So I'll turn it over to Dan. What's your line on this game?
I'm going to give this game the Alabama-Notre Dame treatment and give it the full 14. Maybe because I was young, or maybe because they were really that good, but I've never rooted against a team harder than Nebraska in 1994-95 in my life, and I never felt less confident about a team actually pulling off an upset and beating them. I don't think it was until that fluke game where Nebraska played at Missouri, where the ball went off the guy's leg and popped up in the air, and the guy in Missouri caught the ball in the end zone. You remember that? That was like when I finally was like, oh my God, I think this unbelievable Nebraska runs over where they're not going to be the best team in the country and be unstoppable. Getting off topic. This offense was unstoppable. Tommy Frazier ran the option better than anyone ever, period, in the history of all football. He knew when to pitch it at the last second. He knew when to keep it. He knew when to hand it to their fullback. Both those running backs were so good. The offensive line was nasty. The Nebraska defense was outstanding with the Peters brothers. I believe they called them the Black Shirts back then. And
sure, that's when guys used to sit for 2 years before playing. Yes. Nowadays, guys start as true freshmen and they're gone after their junior year. These guys were there 6 years.
Yeah, they were. They were beasts. That team was unbelievable. Auburn was a good team. They had two good running backs. It was kind of that little bit of a weird era in college football where Auburn won that year. But, you know, they were a very good team. They weren't an excellent, you know, game-changing team that's, you know, changed an era or has any players that like blow your mind. But they were just a solid championship team. So that's why I'm going to go with the full 14. And I would lay the 14, to be honest with you. So Nebraska by 14 is mine.
Dan, man, you and I are right on point, except I'm going to go ahead and give Frazier the half point respect.
I think
14 is too tempting. I would lay it. I would think 14 and a half. You got to give me that extra half point to even make me think about taking anybody against this Nebraska team. Fellas, fun prop question for this game. over under passes thrown combined by these two teams in this game, not taking into account all the garbage time potential throwing it all fourth quarter. What do you think? How many passes thrown in this game?
15.
I was going to say about 12, but I'll spoil what I was going to say. I think Nebraska would win this game pretty big, so I think Jason Campbell would be throwing a lot in the fourth quarter to try to catch up. But
that's fair.
Pre-scripted passes that the coaches actually wanted to run for practical purposes, 12. Nebraska would do about 4, and Jason Campbell would throw about 8.
I put it the exact same number as my over-under, 14.5. Spread and total passes thrown. So not a lot to talk about with that game, but definitely that Nebraska team, we're going to have some fun conversations about them as the bracket progresses. And Auburn, thanks for making an appearance, but you gots to go.
So this just goes to show, I mean, that Auburn team was very good, and we look back at them very fondly. We think they were kind of screwed by history, I would say. Yeah. But compared to 95 Nebraska, I think this one's not close. And I should note that there are many Nebraska teams that could have been in this bracket, at least 3 of them. We picked 95 because we thought they were far and away the best.
It's going to get there's a bunch of really good teams that are really close. So as we go forward, we'll be talking a lot more X's and O's about what offense can score on defense and vice versa. But right now, lay the 14.
So go back to our podcast last week if you want to hear our breakdown of Texas versus Clemson. We have Vince Young in Texas moving on. We have Tommy Frazier in Nebraska moving on this week. We'll be back next week with another matchup, and we'll do one of these each week of the season until we have a champion. The math works out perfectly. Now, we have about 1 minute left before we leave. I want to throw it over to Ryan for a parting shot. I will set you up, and then you can deliver the punchline. So, we're Buffalo Bills fans. Dan will check out of this conversation because he hates the Bills. So he's waving goodbye. But me and Ryan are both Buffalo Bills fans, regrettably. And the Buffalo Bills have a little bit of a quarterback problem. We think Tyrod's okay, but at some point they're going to try to get another quarterback. This year, there are at least three quarterbacks who could be very, very high picks. We got Rosen, we got Darnold, we got Josh Allen from Wyoming. Ryan has a guy that he thinks is the one they should go for, and this is where you college fans might be interested. So we remember Suck for Luck. So we have started our own campaign chant, and I'll turn it over to Ryan to set this up.
Oh, yes. Bills fans unite. We are going to be Fallon for Allen. That's right. Tank this shit up. Get Josh Allen. Get a quarterback who can throw in the cold and the snow and the wind. And if you need any further reason why he is the perfect fit in Buffalo, on a recent podcast interview with Adam Schefter, when asked his favorite food in the world, where he would go for his last meal, he told us and the world that buffalo wings are his favorite food in the world. Let's go, Bills. Cold weather quarterback, small town kid, loves wangs. Let's freaking do this. Fallon for Allen.
I love it. I love it. We're failing for Allen in 2017. And our goal for the rest of the season, although the Bills won't get these guys, we're going to come up with a similar catchphrase for Josh Rosen and Sam Darnold, whose names do not readily rhyme with anything good. So, but we're going to get creative and we're going to figure it out. But yeah, hashtag failing for Allen.
That's right. Get on Twitter. Let's start going. Blowing this up.
Take the points. Is at takethepoints.net. We're on iTunes. We're on Stitcher. We are now on, well, we have submitted to Google Play, and I expect that to be available on Google Play sometime soon. Probably not this week, but probably for next week's podcast. So if you have a friend who loves podcasts about football, but refuses to listen on anything besides Google Play, you let him know. You let him or her know that the Take the Points College Football Podcast will be available on Google Play as of next week. So with that, pretty much wherever you get your podcasts, you can listen to this show. So tell a friend, give us a review if you want. We hope you all enjoy this, Anything else to add, Ryan, Dan?
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye, everybody. Take the point.